Blog Talk Radio.
Episode of On Point. I'm Don Allen with my co-host in Studio A, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing on this snowy Saturday afternoon?
Don, I'm doing just fine, if you will. In fact, I guess I would say if I was from Georgia that I'm just peachy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We're, you know, working into Martin Luther King Month, which is also really a version of Black History, and then we really work into Black History in February. And we were just saying here on Point that before we went on the air, we know leadership is all across the state bringing the message and the accurate message, I assume, of Black History. Crookston, Minnesota, having events up there on the college campus, way up north up there. Moorhead, if you will. Marshall, Minnesota. Rochester. St. Cloud, I assume. I guess they still let the Blacks have something up there in St. Cloud. Duluth, if you will. I think the NAACP of Duluth. I think they still have a branch there, Mr. Allen. But anyways, a lot of activities going on.
Yeah, and we have a lot of activities here in the city today, and hopefully we can get an update from some of the brothers involved with the Student African-American Brotherhood at Minneapolis Community and Technical College in downtown Minneapolis. I mean, they were sent out on various missions, and Mr. Edwards, they also had an event at the school with Dr. Verna Price, who was there to somehow address the students on something. Of course, I could not make it today because of my obligations outside of that realm, but I hear it was pretty interesting. So maybe we'll have a caller call in and bring us up to date about the interesting part. So.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of things going on, as we said before, that has a historical perspective, if you will. By the way, front page of this week's Minnesota Spokesman Recorder confirming the loss of significant land held by African-American here in the state of Minnesota, a Mr. Copeland, is foreclosed on and et cetera. Big story in the Spokesman Recorder. I remember you first reported that, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, about three Saturdays ago, when I was actually down, the only journalist besides the Star and Tribune at the actual hearing in front of the city council, and Lisa Goodman and Don Samuels and a couple more there. And so I actually filmed video and put footage up online with the decision as it was being handed down in real time.
That's what I thought. I thought I well remembered a discussion here on Point about that. And in fact, was that not the meeting where Lisa Goodman threatened to have African-American leaders there, clergy and others, Alfred Flowers and others, removed and arrested if they didn't sit down and keep their mouths closed?
Well, they
by the way, there was never any public testimony on that.
No.
Were you ever able to find any public testimony where...
No. There was never any public testimony at all whatsoever on that. They were in there, the Reverend McAfee, Jerry McAfee, Mr. Louis King, Alfred Flowers, and a couple more community. Kenya.
Bill Jones, I remember. I think I understood what was there. Yeah.
Kenya McKnight was there, and I think they all came down with the intent to speak publicly, but I think the city council figured out that, you know, this is going to go down, and they cut the legs right from under them, Mr. Edwards.
Wow. And then 2 days later on a Friday, full council in session, the council voted on the recommendation from the Economic Development Committee under the chairmanship of Lisa Goodman, and that was it. It was foreclosed on because of a failure to comply with the contractual agreements? Is that as I understand it?
Well, as I understand it, Mr. Edwards, it was an opportunity for a Black contractor to have property, develop houses, and create low-income housing for his people. And from what I understand was that never happened. the only thing that was really used was on one of the lots over there in Heritage Park is what we're talking about in Minneapolis, North Minneapolis, was Project Sweetie Pie received a lot for the children to garden over there. And I guess
Okay. And this was what the contract called for, what, about 120 units to be built for affordable and low-income housing?
Exactly, exactly.
Kind of like the thing that what is what they're called, Urban Homeworks. Aren't they building all this housing for low-income people and low-income people of color?
It's funny that you should bring that up, Mr. Edwards. We have really no idea what Urban Homeworks is doing because we sent them over a month and a half ago a detailed data request based on the money received. Oh, we're going to bring that up. You know, it's about the tornado. No one really gives a hoot about the tornado in the wintertime. But the people that were affected should be be concerned about. We should be concerned about them. But Urban Homeworks was to collaborate with the National Association of Minority Contractors and other minority contractors to get them certified, qualified, legitimized, and tie them into the city system and the state system to start receiving contracts for redeveloping not only in North Minneapolis but across the state. And I just was really curious about if that ever happened because, you know, Mr. Edwards, I attended a National Association of Minority Contractors during the tornado dilemma, and I actually walked into the room and asked how many of them in the room got any business or was doing a reconstruction in North Minneapolis.
Right. That was back on the 8th of June. Anyone wants to confirm that, call up the program, our program of that Saturday, the week of the 8th of June. You talked extensively about that. In fact, Mr. Norman approached you, if I not remember correctly, and wanted to make sure that you weren't going to do any expose.
And then he did send me an email later on, Mr. Edwards. He says, you have slandered and libeled my organization, my company. And I says, it's like this, Ravi. And I'm talking about Ravi Norman of Thor Construction. I says, hey, you had a trailer over there on the corner of Penn and Plymouth. Penn and Broadway, Penn and Broadway. And it is my opinion and it's my right to say that I think when the insurance claims ran out, that you ran out. People that had insurance for homes and stuff, I think you guys milked that appropriately. You passed work to your associates. And when it was dried up, it was dried up. When you didn't see any more funds coming, it wasn't economic.
Don, let me ask a question about that because the trailer that you talked about was highlighted in an investigative report by the Minneapolis Star Tribune the second week in June. In fact, there's a photograph showing a gentleman who was an associate of Mr. Norman's being confronted with a bogus contractor's list. Now, did the legislative representatives, because it was the state of Minnesota that came in and exposed it. And maybe I missed it. I was doing some traveling and et cetera in the summer. Did the legislative representatives from the area, did they ever have a public hearing on that? I'm talking about the state representative, Bobby Joe Champion.
Oh, no. Mr. Champion hasn't had any hearings on that. You know, he doesn't want to bend or strain any relationships that he might imagine that he has with these individuals. And you know, he definitely doesn't want to throw them under the bus for whatever reason that might be. But, yeah, we haven't gotten much of anything out of the 58B
representative. Now he's running for state senator, am I correct, to represent all of 58 as the senatorial district. Linda Higgins, longtime state senator, is stepping away. The state representative, who did he select or anoint to replace him, or to certainly who did he endorse?
Well, that's interesting you should ask that, Mr. Edwards, because there's a two-tier thing going on here. Mr. Champion announced that he was going to run for Linda Higgins' seat and did not bother to ordain anybody in his place. And you know
what?
No. I mean, there's been no official announcements. I comb the media every day. I'm on his RSS feed. So if he sneezes, I should know about it. And No, we don't have any information about that, or if he did. But right now, as it stands, he didn't. But also, let's compare Linda Berglund in South Minneapolis with Linda Higgins in North Minneapolis. Linda Berglund quit in the middle, I guess, you know, of her tenure as senator and ordained and graced Jeff Hayden.
Okay? Yes, right.
Was able to slide in perfectly. And then Bobby Joe, or Linda Higgins, I should say, is waiting till her term is over and she's leaving. And she has not endorsed anybody at all whatsoever. So if she was going to support Bobby, it's yet to be seen and it's invisible. But, you know, then again, you have a state representative for North Minneapolis that people, you know, we have to hear from. Now, Mr. Edwards, I happen to be looking at the official Minnesota State Legislature page. It says 9 House documents found in legislative session 87. Chief author was Bobby Joe Champion, state representative. And I am just looking for things in North Minneapolis. I have HF 1685, was the Minneapolis Kyle Center for Dance and the Performing Arts. Funded provided, bonds issued, money appropriated. This is exactly what it says. I'll put the link up on our site here.
Well, now, this is the place on Plymouth Avenue. Is that right, the museum there? Is that what you're talking about?
The counselor for – no.
Oh, he was doing something for the cows. Okay.
Yeah. And then you got HF 1400. The Minneapolis Nicollet Mall, Phase 1, renovation, funding provided, bonds issued, and money appropriated. So I want people to understand that. We're not making...
Well, now, wait a minute, Mr. Allen. I have to be fair. We want to be transparent. Those two sites in downtown Minneapolis must be within the boundaries of 58B, right?
I can't tell. They don't look like it to me. Nicollet Mall?
I don't know. I mean, the 58B is a district in North Minneapolis. I mean, I know the black community lost everything 10 years ago when they redistricted the fifth ward out of downtown Minneapolis. But maybe somebody who's, you know, a supporter of the incumbent can just call and clarify for us. Maybe they'll have a map there in front of them. I'm looking at just called up the legislative map. I don't see the lines running through the Coles Center for the Performing Arts or anything on the Nicollet Mall. But maybe we're a little bit, you know, out of pocket here. But hopefully someone will certainly call and get our minds right.
Yeah, and then too, Mr. Edwards, they probably, you know, redistricted the whole place and didn't tell us, you know, so we might be wrong. You never know. And there's one more here, Mr. Edwards, on this list from 2011-2012. HF 0604, Target Center renovation funding provided, bonds issued, and money appropriated. Now, the chief author, it says here, is Mr. State Representative Bobby Joe Champion. So my question to Bobby Joe Champion is, A, how does that happen? How does money never make it behind the Target Center, behind the Twin Stadium, behind the bus terminal, behind 1010 Curry? It goes there forward instead of there back. And that is his district back there, you know, North Minneapolis, 58B. And we also have to ask that question of Linda Higgins, too, I guess, at this point. Because
the senatorial boundaries and the two legislative boundaries are all of the same to the extent that there are two House seats within each senatorial district. Wow, but I thought you were going to read us some legislation that dealt with economic development in North Minneapolis. Of course, we realized the session ended before the tornado. That's the reason I asked you the question, Mr. Allen, if there was ever a special hearing. I remember the many, many hearings that the state representative had back in 2010 when, you know, they were pushing light rail. And there was no commitment to jobs, but there was a commitment to getting the community kind of in lockstep to say that they wanted this. You know, organized labor sure wanted it, though there was no commitment to hire any black folk. But I saw no public anything after the tornado, and we heard all these plans and $2.6 million alone coming through the Minneapolis Foundation, as well as our We had at least $9 million coming from the federal government for relief right here in Minneapolis. And I don't know. Maybe we're off base here. Maybe we're off base. Maybe we shouldn't expect things like that.
Well, and another thing, Mr. Edwards, we've been in meetings in North Minneapolis and all over about the light rail, where State Representative Champion has cheerleaded for the light rail. And I'm finding here the chief officer, or the chief author, State Representative Simon, on the Southwest Corridor light rail transit funding provided, bonds issued, and money appropriated, which Bobby Joe Champion signed off on it. Representative Champion signed off on it, too. And I'm just looking at all the different bills that were passed. State Representative Green, Minneapolis PV Park. See, if you go to the state site, it's www.revreviso.mn.gov, or just Google State Representative Legislative Session 87 from 2011 to 2012. And you will see a list of bills that basically everybody agreed on. And then you find the ones that they didn't agree on. Then you find the ones that each individual state representative signed off on. Now, okay, I'm looking at some of the critical bills that, you know, that maybe should have been authored, solo authored by State Representative Champion or State Representative Hayden. And I just don't, I don't like the market value homestead credit restored. That could have been something that they done, they had gotten together, their heads together and done. Court eviction records expunged, required after 1 year. State Representative Clark, State Representative Mullery, small business and targeted.
Joe Mullery, let's be transparent. It's Joe Mullery, who is the state representative for the northern half of 58 legislative district. He represents the northern half of the district. He holds the same position in the legislature as State Representative Bobby Joe Champion. Joe Mullery, I see. Okay.
And then,
okay.
I mean, he had a small business and targeted group purchasing laws applied to the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, and that was something where he had to put some reins on some crazy things that were going on that I'm sure, or, well, actually, let me take that back. I think that was so he could free up a couple of the colleges here in Minnesota to do basically what they wanted to do. So rather than help out. But anyway, I guess my point is, Mr. Edwards, that, you know, on January 31st, Tuesday, January 31st at Fowell Park in North Minneapolis, there is a scheduled debate between the 59 Senate candidate Troy Parker and the candidate, not incumbent, the candidate for Senate, to also Bobby Joe Champion, which he has not confirmed. And he's not saying if he's going to do it. He has not returned any calls to IBNN News, to On Point, or to me personally. And we're just wondering, you know, what is his holdup? Because like you said in the beginning here, Mr. Edwards, he has not ordained anyone, nor has he been ordained. But we have a plethora of people jumping at the opportunity to run for his spot, and then we have him not even wanting to challenge Troy Parker. I mean, I know why he wouldn't challenge Troy Parker, because Troy Parker will take him to the woodshed, figuratively, on some of these issues, some of the things that we're just talking about here. You know, Troy Parker, if he just, to me, I mean, I had a long conversation with Mr. Parker, because I felt that, you know, maybe someday we could get him on the show, but we'd want to invite State Representative Champion, too, to give fair time. And
we'd have to. We'd have to. But we still have time. But now I'm a little puzzled, because I know the state representative is busy. By the time January 31st shows around, the legislature will have convened. Legislature will convene, what, in another week, less than a week. So he's probably got a heavy itinerary. I mean, we've got, you know, massive deficits. The governor wants some real attention paid to his jobs bill. You remember part of the discussion way back on the 30th of March of last year. You remember the economic development piece. And I know the governor wants some things done there, so I imagine that incumbents in lesser offices are probably will be working and burning the midnight oil. I assume that's probably what it is, but it looks like you have to take time to certainly be involved in a discussion, a debate. You know, the art of debate is a beautiful art, Mr. Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it allows people the opportunity to articulate their position and be examined on their position and their articulation of the issues. I just think it's a beautiful thing. That's why I'm so impressed with the parliamentary form of government, particularly in England, as example, as you know, where you have like the Prime Minister's Hour, things like that, where you really have to give and take. You got to be able to think on your feet. But okay. What the heck? We don't spend unnecessarily all a lot of time on this. We've got a lot of things going on. I was hoping we could have gotten a call from some of the participants. Was it a tour yesterday to see the success of the North Side that you were talking about that was provided for students at MTCC? Is that what that was?
No, actually, that was today. What they were doing
today? Okay.
It was a day of service for the Martin Luther King celebration. They were doing that today, actually. And part of that was that they were going over to see a house being demoed with Urban Homeworks.
Demoed, not built. What about a house being built?
There's never a house being built. There's always being torn down. And so
okay.
I found that pretty. I got a little bit of feedback. Like I said, I wasn't there, Ms. Edwards, and I'm really encouraging those that participated in any way, shape, or form, give us a call. Again, that calling number is 877-572-4288. It's 877-572-4288, and you do not need a quarter. It's a toll-free number.
All right. We just looking to see that now. We know significant planning is in place, as we first reported here on Point last Saturday. The Achievement Zone, they're very powerful now. We have to identify them. I understand we're kind of being told that. It's been suggested that we must now refer to them as the very powerful Achievement Zone. I know they're getting their plans in order, already set aside about $150,000 for organizational structure and et cetera. I know the hiring process has started for the contract workers. I guess basically everybody will be a contract worker except the top three, four administrators. And then their negotiations are going on with Minneapolis Public Schools to get a site. In fact, somebody even said the possibility of the City Inc., but that would not be wise because that's not the City Inc.'s location is not a part of the powerful Achievement Zone. Are you getting any kind of feedback, Don, on the Achievement Zone? I mean, when were their doors actually fully opened up as it pertains to the federal dollars?
Well, here's the feedback that I'm getting, Mr. Edwards. I'm hearing a lot of not happy. And I got to correlate this back to the time of slavery when the black slaves got some of the white Quakers involved and the sympathetic white folks involved in their cause, and that kind of changed the course of history and slavery. And so now we have a small group of white professionals in North Minneapolis and throughout the city that are questioning the dollars, that are questioning when you're going to start, why not get 500, take that 48 million and get, or 20, excuse me, 28 million. And get something. Let me make sure my math's right. Get 500. I'm playing here in the studio on the computer, so I have this right. So it's 28, and I'm gonna put the exact.
What 28 million? Is this the one about a couple of hundred students could be sent to school or something like that?
Yeah, you take 28 million and you divide it between 500 students. That's about $56,000 a student. Now,
okay. You
don't give that money directly to the students. You put that money in a 4% interest, annual interest or quarterly interest account, safe, secure.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time those kids get 18, 19, they're ready to go to college, they had a nice little nest egg. Well, one author was upset. He says this money will not go to help the children. This money will go to staff. Therefore, it's already failed.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Now, let me just say on that particular point, because we, and again, anyone wants to authenticate what we're saying here, I specifically mentioned that last week to kind of throw out a piece of bait. Now, in the discussions that they've been having for the last 8 or 9 or 10 days, the Achievement Zone is talking about the creation of an endowment fund. And they've been discussing that with, powerful white attorneys, if you will. And so it's interesting that you said that because, man, that is right in line with what you're saying because they're talking about an endowment trust, I guess, if you will. That'll be interesting how that will be managed and et cetera, if you will. So people are saying that they don't think that kind of approach would allow the money really to go to the African Americans. I imagine we're talking about African Americans, right? Because the achievement zone under the concept of achievement zones around America and under Larry Canada is that's certainly where you want to direct it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely correct.
I mean, you know, still a commitment to that, right? I mean, to educate and employ the Negro?
Well, that's what we should be trying to do, to tell you the truth.
Okay, I mean, I just, you know, I'm like you, Don. I'm hearing some interesting observations and et cetera made, you know, by people who are part of the insiders, if you will. I mean, certainly carrying credentials greater than anything that could be carried by, you know, two commentators on this program. I mean, and I was a little surprised to hear some of the comments over the last month, if you will. But I know things are being worked on and worked over and everything. But I always like to see movement, if you will, you know what I mean? Because these are such desperate times. These are such desperate times for the African-American. And also it's an election year. We get a lot of promises, a lot of commitments. President can't seem to get that jobs bill even out of committee there in the Congress. And I think we need it. Now, you got to remember, Mr. Allen, we're coming up on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday you know, the celebration Monday. And by now we would have a clear indication of the jobs plan. You know, I mentioned it at right top of the program. You know, Governor Dayton says he has a jobs program. He wants it, being discussed. Kind of like the stadium. Now, the governor didn't waste no time on that stadium.
No, he did not. And Mr. Edwards,
he gave him a deadline, and he held to that. And, you know, he doesn't have to call a special session of the legislature because the legislature, by constitution, is going to be convening within the next 6 or 7 days. But or less than that. So I'm just trying to drive here as a part of the engine, if you will, here on point, trying to get the discussion going on, I mean, what's the plan? I mean, do we have a plan?
well, maybe this caller we have on hold here might know.
Oh my God, let's get him on, Don.
Hello, caller, you're live on the air. Who's calling?
Oh, Minister K.G. Wilson, founding president of the whole ministry, spoken for the Sherez Jones Foundation. How are you great guys doing today?
Brother Wilson, how you doing? What can we do for you?
Oh, man, I was just listening in and trying to see if I could luck up and get a call in, man. I just the Northside community really needs your prayers, man, and your support. We didn't get too much support for the Terrell's Mays event as far as volunteers. I don't know if you heard or saw in the newspaper where it's kind of miscalculated and said 100 volunteers. I saw about 50 police and maybe about 20 volunteers.
That's my understanding also, Mr. Wilson, from observers that were there. I think it's good for you to provide that kind of transparency because I was a little early this morning. You looked at my newspaper here, and I saw the numbers. I kind of knew the numbers weren't accurate. Saw your picture in the paper this morning with the mother, if you will, who I think in many respects has been treated rather poorly. Leadership. I think she's been treated very poorly on how they have not respected her, if you will. But give us your thoughts, KG, because Mr. Allen and I are aware as bloggers that this is an issue that has caught the attention of the nation because of bloggers like us. We have a 3-year-old African-American child. By the way, are there any suspects as we speak?
Not that I know of. That's one of my prayers that that it would be. I am so in agreement with you and Don, Ron. I had put up an example of what they did in Chicago, the support they gave to a police officer there, who, with all due respect for him being an officer but was a grown man, they put up a $50,000 reward for him. And I had put up posted on Facebook that we in Minneapolis, in our community, North Minneapolis, had a three-year-old baby who was shot, killed, and murdered. And at the beginning, there was only $1,000 placed up. Personally, for the record, I just want to say it shouldn't even be about the amount of money. It should be about trying to protect more citizens and other kids from being shot by this same perpetrator, because as I told the police yesterday, is that the guy whoever did this to little Terrell, three-year-old Terrell Mays, is more dangerous now running around scared on the run than he was before he shot Terrell Mays.
Yeah,
so
whoever
anyone's child could be held accountable, you know, could be a victim
right.
next, or anyone's family member could be a victim next. And I personally was upset. I'm still upset. I was hurt by the turnout yesterday that no one really gave concern to come out and be a part of the event. I know everybody don't have money. I don't have money. But it's about coming out in numbers to support and show love to this mother, not only this mother, to the community, period, that we do care about our children. And I just want to thank you guys so much for what you have done. Publicizing it and being on the radio here, Blog Talk Radio, and just making sure that it stays on the hearts and the minds of our people, because we are lost and we have forgotten who our future is, and it's the children.
Absolutely. And by the way, on that particular note, in that you pointed that out, our column in this week's Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, we talked about that we are extremely concerned. One of the things I will say to you, KG, that I think we have to be very careful about saying black on black, because there are no witnesses, there's no suspects. We don't know who fired that shot or a series of shots, because there were a lot of shots fired by a gunman or multiple gunmen. And I just think we need to reserve our condemnation, other than the fact that whoever it was created a serious sin. And violation of the Lord's word, but we don't have a clue. And by the way, you and I have talked privately on occasion. You know, we've got a lot of young African Americans, male and female, who were killed this past summer or this past year in Minneapolis, and there's no suspects. Nobody seems to be politically concerned. I mean, I get tired of seeing the mayor and the chief and all the folks out there talking in terms of what a community should do. The fact of the matter is that got a lot of folks out there that get salaries, you know, like police and investigators, and et cetera. You know, maybe they need to do something. Let me say this to you also, KG, because we talk about it on one of our other programs. I found it absolutely amazing that Matt McKinney, Mr. Allen, this is kind of for you also, Matt McKinney, made a terrible political mistake. He doesn't know it, but he did. In the article the other day, entitled on Terrell's block, KG, I was glad to see, you know, you offered some comments. McKinney, reporter for the Minnesota Star Tribune, pointed out that the Star Tribune, and I well remember this particular piece, did a article in 1996 about violence, KG, on that same block.
Wow.
Go back and take a look at the article the other day by Matt McKinney and et cetera. Now, if you want to talk in terms of mental health problems, because there are some people that still live there that have been in that neighborhood ever since 1996, 1995, and they have each and every day of their life had to live with this violence and et cetera. And I thought, Mr. Allen, Mr. Wilson, that was a piece of significant condemnation of this city and what they really care about black folks.
Mm-hmm.
1996, the Minneapolis Star Tribune wrote about that very block and the violence and the death that was going on there. Now, you explain to me why that has not been taken care of.
It hasn't been taken care of by anyone, Mr. Edwards, and that's our point. You know, black politics in Minneapolis, it's an election year. And we're going to hear every promise to that the sky will be blue and it will be 80 degrees all during the winter months, to you will have a house with a two-car garage, two Mercedes-Benz, and all the food you can eat.
Let me go one better, because as an older brother, both you young men can appreciate this. We used to laugh Brother Wilson back in the days of the revolution, when white folks used to tell Negroes that there would be a Cadillac in the garage and a chicken in every pot. And we knew that was BS. But Mr. Allen, I'm sorry I cut you off, sir. Anything? What else? And what are the observations?
No, that's all I was gonna say. It's pretty interesting that, you know, and I look back, Mr. Edwards, just from 2002, I think it was, to 2010, and out of funding that has come to nonprofits and schools, including parks and churches in North Minneapolis, I stopped counting at $450 million. Okay.
Wow.
Going back to 1996. Now, how many nonprofits out there, including the Urban League, Peace Foundation, Cookie Cart, I mean, all these Northside entities that at some point received some funding to say they were going to address the problem?
They all did. I can tell you, going back to the 1996 article, again, that was in the Minneapolis Star Tribune 2 days ago, Matt McKinney writing and identifying a story about that same block. But Mr. Allen, I'd like to do this and not keep Mr. Wilson, but I think it's just incumbent upon us as a illustration and a symbol of decency. Mr. Wilson, how is the mother doing? I mean, to me, that's the most important thing. How is she doing? How is she holding up?
I've been with her every step of the way, you know, and staying in touch with her. As you can see yesterday, she's hurting. She's hurting bad. I think she's hurting a little bit more. She's hurting because of the death of her son and the murder of her son, but she's hurting, I believe, because of what she's seen in the community and some of the community leaders that she may have seen on the news or on the paper or just show up and come out and just give promises, you know, but no solutions. And year after year, like you just said. And so she's hurting on the inside. You know, I've been staying in contact with her and everything and trying to do the best I can. But, yes, she has really been let down by the community. And not only her, the people that have been following this death of her son are hurt too, because they have seen no response like the response should have been for a three-year-old baby. Now, listen here. I'm going to let you guys go, but you said something that I'm going to use that I love, Ron. You said that back in the day that our Caucasian brothers said to us that all we would be promised a Cadillac and a chicken in every house. And do you know what you just
pot.
Said?
That's right.
Do you know what you just said is what's true today? That's all most black folks want is a Cadillac and some chicken in the house. So a lot of
right.
times they don't care nothing about your son being killed, Ron, Don, mine, and nobody else's, as long as they got a Cadillac and some chicken in the house.
All right. Okay, Brother
so
Wilson.
I'm glad you said that one.
Yes,
now
it is. That used
to
be talked
it.
About
if
back way back in the 1930s
I tell
and 40s.
Ron gave it to me.
I sure did, and it's historically there. All right. Thank you, Brother Wilson.
I'm going to keep on going, and y'all pray for me, man. I'm going to be out there. I'm planning
something
now.
You keep doing that.
Thank
all right.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Allen, let me just say this, and I hope that Mr. Wilson is still – you know, one of the things that we're going to make sure is done, because I'm going to get back to Mr. Wilson in a private conversation. You know, one of the things that I noticed – and it's too late for them to play the game with us now, because I have to tell you – that I have been following this case much more closely than a lot of people know, is that one of the things I find very interesting is that the leaders have not asked or requested a meeting between the mother and the head of the police department, including homicide, gang intelligence, and et cetera, to update her. See, in a situation like this, I can tell you from long experience as a person who sat on a special committee ordered by the Department of Justice, that if this was a white child, and even in the case of the little girl, Guadalupe, is that particularly in the first 20 days of this tragedy, the mother would have been at least given three briefings by now by the police department.
Mm-hmm.
They would have given her and her representatives at least three briefings. This is the kind of progress we're making. This is the kind of progress we aren't making, and et cetera. The reason I say this is that I had a most regrettable set-to with a homicide detective in another homicide of a young African-American. And it had to do then with the death of another African-American, much older. And the detective told me, in no uncertain terms, conversation was recorded actually by him because this is the way they operate, that he could give a damn about what the black community wanted to see happen. Okay, now, I have to say he was reprimanded. This officer, this sergeant, detective was reprimanded. Not the first time that he's talked like that. The only problem is he's talking to the wrong black man when he told me this, okay? I was extremely angry, but I did what I needed to do. Now, I have been making inquiry about what kind of progress is being made in the death of Terrell Mays Jr. And I'm like Brother K.G. Wilson. I know what the game is. And one of the things I think, Mr. Allen, I'm going to ask you to join with me, and maybe K.G., we're going to ask the chief on Tuesday to formally meet with the mother and anyone that she chooses. I don't want to be there. I'm not doing this for dog and pony or photo op. But I know how the procedure works in this city and in this department, if you will. And I think that it is extreme negligence on the part of the Minneapolis Police Department not to have sat down and met with this mother since the death of her child on the 26th day of December in the year of our Lord, 2011, and went over with her what kind of progress was being made. Now, am I off base here, Mr. Allen, with that?
No, not at all, Mr. Edwards. That is the right thing to do. Like you said, you know, I don't want to quote everything, but, you know, if this child had blue eyes and blonde hair, it would be a national alert. Every house would be searched. Millions of dollars would have been raised by now, or at least hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's one of the things I'm certainly going to do here, and we're going to do this as a part of the different platforms that you and I and others are involved in. But I'm asking KG to join with us, just letting the chief and his buddies know, Sherman Patterson and DJ Smith, all you cats, just want you to know that we're going to be officially asking for the department to meet with the mother, if you will. She selects who she wants to be in attendance, but want them to meet with her and to brief her and let her know what kind of progress is being made. If no progress is being made, then say that. Say that we're up against the wall. We ain't got a clue what's going on out there. All these intelligence experts like Inspector Mike Martin, who commands the 4th Precinct, and others ain't got a clue about what's happening out there. We're not getting no chatter on the street. You understand? We don't know what's going on. We can't tell you, Miss Mays, that we're going to make any progress at all. At least give her that peace of mind, okay? You do it for a white woman. You do it for a white family, okay? She and her relatives, loved ones, his siblings, and et cetera, they deserve that. And we need to stop pussyfooting as black folk around here with respect to talking up and what I consider to be talking across, because I don't believe in talking up to white folks. I don't have to talk up to them. But it's time to start talking across the table. To me, it's the height of hypocrisy, Don, and I'll leave it alone before I really say something.
Oh, go ahead.
Is that I think it is the height of hypocrisy to have all these little functions, and yet I know for a fact that if it had not been for K.G. Wilson, this mother would basically be shut out of the process. Okay? Now, the one thing that I definitely know, and I repeat it again for all those of you to run back and report to old massa, to boss, is that procedurally, the department should have had at least two meetings with her, possibly three, to have updated her on the progress of the investigation. And KG, if he wants to, can call back, because I'm pretty sure what he'll tell us is the following. The mother has yet to be called into an official meeting. I'm not talking about picking up the phone and saying, yeah, Miss Mays, we're working on the case. She's intelligent enough, those that surround her are intelligent enough to be able to decipher. Isn't that a word white folks teach us, Mr. Allen?
Yeah, decipher.
Be able to decipher the information, okay? That mother and the memory of that child deserves that kind of professionalism.
I agree.
Okay. What else we got, Don? We're up with the last 14, 13 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know,
as we're rolling in.
I was going to try to call WCCO's Red Chapman, because I got a Google alert here while during the show in the studio. I know you see me going and scratching my head.
Yes, I did. I saw you give me a hand signal. What was that?
He has a story in the WCCO online, it's CBS News online, that Minnesota employment affects blacks three times more than white. Okay.
Oh, whoopee.
The first thing I need to say is duh. The second thing I need to say is that why is the chairman of the board for the YMCA Northside and Channel 4 reporter, Reg Chapman, quoting Scott Gray, the president of the Urban League, on in this story. It's now, Mr. Edwards, this is all factual to our listeners out there. The Minneapolis Urban League has cut its staff down to almost nothing, 15, 20 employees. Cut
four days a week.
Cut their salary 10%. A lot of them lost their benefits. And this guy is talking about unemployment or disenfranchising people. And he's talking about the urgency is now. The same thing he wrote on the death of the baby Terrell Mays. And I just found his cell phone number. I just wanted to, you know, kind of see. I mean, he might not answer, Mr. Edwards, but, you know.
You talking about Reg?
Reg Chapman.
Yeah, yeah, man, give Reg a call, man, because I'm interested to see, you know, just what Mr. Gray said that the plan was. Because, see, I always ask, what's the plan? Where's the plan? Okay? But give him a call, man. See if he's down a number up. See if old Reg will answer.
Yeah, this was.
And then Reg can maybe answer our question about what kind of progress can he tell us that
please don't hang up. Your call is very important to me. You've reached 651-233-87.
I don't want to get his number.
Oh, never. Yeah, okay. He's got, don't give all his biz.
Yeah.
He's got to, okay. All right, well, yeah. Well, John, I don't know what to tell you. But like I said, we're at the top of the program. I mean, hey, man, we're getting ready to have Martin Luther King Day activities. By the way, what does the Council on Black Minnesotans have planned? Are they still in business?
Barely. But they're doing something here, I guess, in St. What they usually do over there, that little march and the things they have going on. And
they march from Hallie Q. Brown to Guggenheimer Hall or whatever it is. Gangeloff Hall on Concordia College.
Yeah,
is that what this is?
I think they'll march from Central High down to Concordia College, like they did last year.
That's 3 blocks?
3-4 blocks, yeah. But see, the thing is, Mr. Edwards, again, for more than 10-20 years in a row, we have no major advertising in none of the black newspapers, the black radio stations, and yet there's a $10,000 contract vetted out to someone.
Okay? Yeah, you talked about that a month and a half ago.
I don't even know. I mean, I think we're both actually media savvy, and we're sitting here, we got the AP, we got the Wire, we got everything, but we don't know about that. Okay, and so I find that pretty disingenuous by the Council on Black Minnesotans and to have something and not want to publicize it in the proper networks, okay? It's no longer a time where they can just do things word of mouth because it's not doing them any good, tell you the truth. So.
No, it certainly is not. And so now with the big function, though, is the event sponsored by General Mills at the Minneapolis Convention Center, right?
Yes.
Okay. And am I correct? Is it Bishop Desmond Tutu's daughter that is the keynote speaker this year, or do
you
know?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't gotten one email. I'm on their email address list, so they must purposely not send it this way. But this is like the third or fourth time that she's been in town for something. And I think she's pretty accessible, even if you're paying an honorarium. And
uh-huh.
And when you talk about Desmond Tutu, I mean, he was a really good speaker, and his daughter supposedly is a good speaker from what I hear. And, I mean, that's great, but then again, you have another social gathering around breakfast when we should be addressing items head on. You know, talk
crap. Absolutely.
Right,
Don, I have to ask you this question because somebody passed this on to me as a historian. Did I understand that last week there was confusion about where black folk first located or settled when they came here to Minnesota?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't tell me what I'm getting ready to say is factual. Did somebody with a doctoral degree make the statement that blacks in Minneapolis first settled along Olson Highway?
Yeah. I want to tell you about this. I was sat on a panel last Saturday. And it was a panel involving two professors and two students. And I was one of the students. And we were talking about this organization in downtown Minneapolis with the Student African American Brotherhood and how great it was. And each of us had our own kind of platform or where I could say bully pulpit to talk about the different items that were going on in the black, as it pertains to a black male. And then someone at the end of the table started to get in a conversation, and I think this was Professor Lofgren, about where blacks first settled in Minneapolis, and or in the comments.
Now, he didn't say Olson Highway, did he, Don? I mean, maybe somebody was giving me bad information.
Minneapolis off Olson Highway.
Is that right?
I was kind of taken aback. Because I know, number one, that's not where the brothers came from, or settled, I should say. And now, to say that, to spread that kind of information was not good, you know, because it was not accurate. So.
Well, let me just clarify as a historian on this program so that, you know, we're there. First of all, the first person of African descent that came into Minnesota that the records show, actually, Don, came in from the north. Came in with the Hudson Bay Company, and he actually came. He was born in the province of Quebec. In fact, he was extremely fluent in both French and English. He was a surveyor with a surveying team. They came in from Canada. His name was Bongo, and in fact, his lineage and heritage is still strong in northern Minnesota, particularly if you go up around Red Lake and et cetera. And that was way back in, you know, long before the British moved beyond Fort Pitt. So the first person of African descent was a black man by the name of Bongo, who came into Minnesota from Canada, if you will. Now, the first settlement in Minnesota was, for first and foremost, was at Fort Snelling, which was a military base. In fact, Fort Snelling is the site of the famous case known as Dred Scott.
Oops.
Mm-hmm. In which Justice Taney made the ruling that slavery was appropriate. But it was Dred Scott had fled to a military outpost called Fort Snelling, which is just out there by the airport, right?
Yes.
And the first real settlement, if you will, of Negroes was in the village of St. Anthony. Okay? The same village of St. Anthony that exists just up there northeast. And then, because people always basically follow the river, and then the real first permanent settlement, as you have pointed out, you and I talked about it a year or so ago, became where the University of Minnesota's Law School and the Mondale School and all that is situated there, what is now known as Seven Corners, right?
Yes.
It wasn't until 1920, 1921, 22 that Negroes moved into the so-called North 6th Street, Highway 55, later to be called Floyd B. Olson Memorial Highway. So, you know, I just kind of want to clean that up for the professional person. I mean, I understand that those of us of the South 40, we are not that educated, et cetera, but, you know, we know our history. So, again, it was the village of St. Anthony and then later the so-called Seven Corners area there back towards where the Radisson Hotel and et cetera and the University of Minnesota Law School is. And then it wasn't until around 1920, 1921 that Negroes were relocated or began to move into that part of North Minneapolis. Okay.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. We got about 7 minutes to go, Mr. Edwards, but I need to ask you a question and kind of set up a hypothetical situation for this one here. Okay.
Okay.
You know, and this is hypothetical, didn't do it, but say that I hit someone in the car and I've been drinking, and what would happen to me in the state of Minnesota, Mr. Edwards? What do you think would happen to me?
Well, it all depends on who you are, who you know, and how you can handle the situation. I think that what you're talking about in this hypothetical, it sounds like a hypothetical involving a former football player for a hypothetical team called the Duluth Vikings, if you
yes.
will. And it sounds like it was the wife of that individual who hit an individual who happened to be of Asian extraction, right?
Yeah.
And hit him and killed him instantly as he was trying to put gasoline in his car somewhere along a bridge over the Mississippi River, right? Right?
Exactly.
And the hypothetical has the person continuing on, and it wasn't until someone reported the damage to her car sitting in the garage of the home. out there in Edina that the police made inquiry of the hypothetical person relevant to where they, and here was the key word, and this is where the prosecutors would jump on this, if it, you know, in this hypothetical, is that were you aware that you may have possibly hit someone? Now, initially, the hypothetical person you're talking about indicated that they thought that they may have, and they were getting ready to turn themselves in, and then they were given the time to surrender. They weren't arrested right there at the home. They were given an opportunity to get their lawyer. They already had their lawyer, by the way, and were then given the opportunity to surrender. And I guess it's hypothetically it's supposed to go to trial in April.
Yes, and the Star Tribune yesterday, now we don't have to go hypothetical anymore, but yesterday the Star Tribune printed a story from Amy Sister's attorney. It says, attorney, Amy Sister will be cleared from hitting the hit-and-run death of a Roseville man and will be exonerated by providing she didn't know she struck him before she left the scene. Now, Ms. Edwards, there's two things I got to say about that real quickly here. It's like, now, if that was a black man that had hit anybody, okay, they wouldn't have let him surrender himself. They wouldn't have picked him up.
Oh, my God, no.
No, and they wouldn't let him, you know, get out of it like this. But, you know, money talks. But then again, we have to look back at the Amy Franzen case in 2004, the Coon Rapids driver who killed a teen in 2004. Today she faces new felony. Well, she faces new felony. In 2004, faces new felony charges. And so, you know, and she's poor. She's looks like she might be of a mixed race woman. And there's a picture of her here that I'm looking at. And
this morning's edition, Map Stars Review. In fact, she did, if I'm not mistaken, she did 2.5 years probation and what was it, 60 months of house, 90 days of house arrest, and et cetera. Yeah, she's going back to the penitentiary. She's going to the penitentiary on this one, even though she was driving around drunk in a parking lot, if you will. But because of the conditions of how Minnesotans deal with DWIs, you know, you can rest assured. Now, she unfortunately killed somebody, if you will, and she suffered the necessary consequences, but she wasn't allowed to negotiate her surrender. I'm amazed. I watched with amazement this censor situation with his wife and how the story has developed. I mean, you have to understand that when you hit a person and you roll them or across, you know, like the hood of your car, you have to be pretty inebriated, pretty drunk, not to know that something unnatural, I'll use that legal word, unnatural, just happened. And normally you would do what? You'd kind of like slow up and stop. Oh, by the way, one of the things they're not saying to the public, and I went over there, in fact, and I'm very much aware there, you know that they actually have the accident until the disc is purged. And remember, you and I handled an investigation a couple years ago when a young man allegedly jumped onto the freeway to his death. Remember that? Well, there were cameras. See, there were security cameras there where that accident took place. And it actually shows everything that happened. And what the lawyers are doing now is trying to maneuver to get those tapes suppressed or lost. See, nobody's talked about the security cameras that are right there. You know, those MnDOT cameras, security cameras that we see all the time?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
Got a call there?
No, I thought we did. No, that was the our automated.
Ooh, we're almost over time. I'm sorry. Okay.
No problem.
All right, then. Well, you know, we need to take an even closer look. But as we said before, just throw it out there that there were security cameras that caught the whole incident.
Wow. Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Well, we got right under a minute left, Mr. Edwards.
Okay. All right.
I know that you'll be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow at 3 p.m. and your topic.
Be talking about indefinite detention passed by the Congress of the United States very quietly back in November. Indefinite detention. Very, very dangerous procedure and process.
And then Sunday, if you live in Minneapolis proper, tune in to Channel 17, Minneapolis Television Network, for Black Focus. And your thoughts.
That's what we're talking about. Thank you.
See, get a double whammy there. All right.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Members of Martin Luther King Day, and before you get involved in all those service actions, make sure you look at the Black history and know your Black history. I'm Don Allen, and In the Studio A is Mr. Ron Edwards, and we're signing off.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! We are free at last!
Yeah, right.